This is Discast Extra. Your source for freestyle audio exclusives.
Hello everyone and happy new year, happy new decade in fact. It's 2010 and we're back with a very special Discast Extra.
Yes, that's right. This extra features a very special clip from Dan Stork Roddick. Now, we spoke to Stork back in 2008 when we were recording material for our Discast Decades project. We keep mentioning it, but it is on its way. This is, if you like, a little segment from Stork's interview, but there is much more to come from him later on.
So we've called this Thoughts from Stork. We've got some great reflections from the man himself on sort of the game, and as he was talking through the historical aspects that we were asking him about the 70s, the way the game was run, he talked about some issues in the modern game and perhaps lessons we could learn from reflecting back on the sport. So here's the first Stork thought, where he suggests a new form of competitive play that might sit alongside the standard tournaments we have now and might help be more inclusive and bring more players into the game.
Around that time, we really were thinking that that there was just going to be no end to the development of freestyle. That it was just going to go crazy, which brings me to an observation actually, and that is that the feeling that we had then is not unlike the feeling that I get now when I hear about and see and read about European development. And that is where the magic is back and people are being drawn into it, and it seems like at every meet there are new faces and new talent and people have developed that you hadn't met before. And obviously, this is a fabulous thing because there's no secret that didn't last in North America. That is that we kind of reached a zenith and then it began to tail off. And the warning, I guess, that I think we need to pay attention to is that can happen again. And I think that the sociology of why it happens is worth keeping in mind, and that is that in the beginnings of things, as it was in 76 and as it has been in the last say 5 or 6 years in Europe, it really seduces people in because they see an opportunity to that they can make a contribution, that they can be somebody in it, that they can make waves. But that changes pretty rapidly as the stratification of the players gets established, and unless we're careful, we'll miss the wave in Europe again, and we'll start to see, I'm afraid, we'll start to see the same kind of cooling unless we're smarter about retaining that interest that people bring when they see a new thing. And I believe that part of the key to that is that we need to develop ways that have it continue to be satisfying for people to come and play who are not top echelon. Because obviously if you're top echelon, it's very gratifying to come and compete because you know, people fall at your feet and say you're great and give you trophies and that's easy. It's easy to be the best. But to keep those lower echelons interested, it's not like disc golf where it's kind of entertaining. You know, they put you with a group and you go out and you do your thing and you kind of have fun. And the fact that you're 20 strokes behind Dave Feldberg or Climo or someone, that's an incidental thing. But to go out and compete in freestyle in a setting where people are expecting to see elite level play, and you've kind of got old, not so interesting, not so challenging, much more basic stuff, it's hard to get fired up to do that. And you look over and the judges are kind of only half paying attention to what you're doing, and it doesn't take too many times for a person to do that until they say, well, I think maybe I'll just come and watch, you know, because, you know, I'm not a factor. And I mean, I love watching it, but it's just not that much fun to not be great. I think actually in the last couple of years, and as I've been turning this over in my mind, I think maybe the answer to that is having a different competitive format. Not to replace the one that we have, because we'll always need the elite one. We'll always be interested in who's the best.
Yeah.
But I believe that we can retain a much broader set of people who are interested in competitive freestyle, and realize that we're talking about a different thing, not just recreational freestyle, because recreational freestyle is somewhat different than competitive freestyle. But I believe that we could retain a much broader number of people interested in competitive freestyle if we promoted a particular form that would be maybe called team freestyle. And team freestyle would create a format in which people would come in at certain levels of rating, and maybe FPA would manage this, where it would be almost maybe like the old days of proficiency rating, where it would give players, particularly the lower level players, something to do that they would establish themselves at a certain level of play. And maybe it's four levels. You know, there's an A, B, C, D, or think up more interesting names than that, but A, B, C, D. And your rating would be a combination of specific skills that you have and competitive results, let's say. But it would be A, B, C, or D. Let's imagine that there was a team championship, and it would have to be a prestigious thing. Maybe it even has money but it's a big title, not just a warm and fuzzy, hey, let's come and let's all play together. Not that. But a team championship that would be at the highest level of interest for players. When you come to this championship, you come in with a particular rating that you have. The tournament then takes a player from each of the four levels and for the first round of play puts them together and says, okay, this team, and maybe it's only three levels, A, B, C. And each team is made up of four players, an A player, a B player, and say two C players.
Right, yeah.
Those people are given, they're put together, introduced to each other, and sent off, and they have 45 minutes to put together what they're going to present. Now the challenge is kind of, okay, what skill sets do we have? What's the best that we can put together? What music do we want to use? How can we choreograph this? I would speculate that now, of course, as let's say maybe I'm a C player these days, to me, the potential of coming out and saying, wow, I'm going to get to play with Dave Schiller, you, and another person at my level. Wow, that's pretty entertaining to come and say, I'm going to get to do that. Yeah. And so we work on a routine together. We present it. Now all at once, I'm a factor, so's the B player, and I believe so is the A player, because I believe that Schiller would be pretty motivated of saying, what's the best that he can get out of this team? So we play the first round. We play the first round, and it gets scored in some fashion. Then we reset, and everybody gets put back again together for a second round. The only rule is that you can't be with anybody that you played in the first round. Mm-hmm. And again, you get 45 minutes. And again, you get scored. Now, maybe there's a final that says, we're going to take the highest scoring from the two rounds. We're going to take the highest scoring A players, B players, and C players. Right, and we're going to put them together for a final. And then the winners of that will be our champions. Right. That they will have done it. Now, it doesn't sound like it's that dramatically different from some other tournament formats we've had. But when you look at the sociology of that event versus others, to that very large number of people, and we could sit here and name off probably 200 players we know who no longer compete in freestyle, North American players we're talking about, who just say, well, you know, I'm just not into it anymore. And that means maybe they don't practice anymore, maybe they come out watch, or maybe they don't even. I believe that if you say to them, you can again come out and play with the best people and be a factor, then, at least for me, I think I start practicing again. Because if I, even if I come out as a C, I don't want to be ashamed of my play. I think I've got some things to offer, but I haven't practiced to be better in 10 years. Whereas if I knew, well, in Ventura, you know, in 4 months, there's going to be a chance to go out there and play with top people for a serious result. Geez, I might actually practice again. Yeah, and I think that times hundreds of people makes a shift. Now, I'm not saying that every event's like that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be crazy. You could have like some events that and some events in the format we use now, yeah.
A couple a year. Yeah. But the interesting thing is it seduces me back, and maybe after preparing for them, I may actually talk myself into coming back to an individual event again. Mm. But I think it maybe breaks the syndrome that I know has happened here, and I'm afraid might begin to happen in Europe as well, of where those lower echelon people just start slipping away because, frankly, it just isn't beneficial enough for them psychologically to go and be not so good.
Okay, thanks for that, Stork. And without further ado, we're going to pass you back on to Stork for his second Stork Thought. This time, Stork talks about his views on judging. It's quite a challenging viewpoint, so it'll be interesting to hear some responses to this. He talks about judging's subjective nature, and he relates the conversations we're having now back to similar discussions that were had in the 70s. Here's Stork.
As I look back on my career, and I just had a kind of a deja vu on this because just recently here, we at the time of this taping, we're coming off the Olympics. And of course, each year in watching that on television, you get reminded of how difficult objective judging can be. And I think my biggest disappointment with myself is that I wasn't able to put freestyle on a more certain path of development to get a system that would really be satisfying for the best growth of the sport. Because when I look at the discussions now, I see many of the same kinds of concerns that we had 25 years ago. And it seems, frankly, even more clear to me now that one of the biggest mistakes that we've made is the failure to realize that we're essentially looking at an artistic form. Mm. And when I look at the horrors of gymnastics or skating judging and the bizarre results that are generated, and I realize the kind of effort and expense that has gone into those systems, and frankly, we have never been able to do that, and I don't know that we even have an appetite to do that. We may pay lip service to that. When I say we, I mean freestyle disc play. We may pay lip service to it, but frankly, I can't imagine that we will ever put the kind of effort that gymnastics has put into their systems. So with that in mind, and realizing that with all the effort that gymnastics and figure skating, let's say, have put in, that it's still, frankly, a terrible result. It seems to me that objectivity in such things is really the golden fleece. And so once you realize that, I think you have to say, this is an artistic endeavor. Well, can one compare art? maybe not, but when you look at things like the Chopin Festival, they get it done. And let's talk about execution. A series of six pianists sit down and play Rachmaninoff, each one, quote, perfectly. Yep. So imagine the nightmare of freestyle routines where every player plays perfectly. Well, they solve that by having a fairly large panel of admired, knowledgeable judges who, with guidance, simply rank the performances that they have seen. That's what they do. Now, I know that that listeners will hear that and say, I can't believe the guy is still playing the same tune after all this time. Well, I raise it only because I think it's become more and more obvious that it is, in fact, an art form. And that when you get in the business of trying to do a quantification of Van Gogh versus Degas, that's going nowhere. Because it can't be done. Now, of course, one of the thoughts is don't do it at all. But people like to move this art form forward. And I don't have anything against competition in it. I think that it's an exciting thing, and I think it drives development.
Definitely, yeah.
But I think we have to say that it is art, and that kind of ranking from people who we trust can be valuable, because I think that anything that attempts to quantify it automatically limits it, in that as we make it more and more narrow, it's more and more limiting. And my nightmare always was that we get our little Western system all put together that's got all the things we check off, and here comes this pair from subcontinental India, and they play this glorious, subtle routine to sitar, and our variety judges are going nuts and going, oh, these guys, you know, they're not showing us any variety. Well, no, they're showing us an artistic expression using exactly the medium we want them to in a beautiful fashion, and our system absolutely can't measure it. And the same thing happens when people bring out multiple discs and there's three discs flying. Come on, our judges are writing all this stuff down. Unfortunately, we're in a position of pretending objectivity, and that leaves us at the position of being hypocritical, where we're saying that we're giving an objective score to a team, and the fact of the matter is, it's not even close. I mean, it's a thinly veiled subjective evaluation. So for me, I'd rather say, let's just face it, that it is at its heart subjective, and that that's not a bad thing, and embrace it. I'm on the sidelines now, so I almost promised myself I wouldn't even go here, but it pains me to see modern people still having the same endless arguments over scoring that, frankly, I don't think have any end.
Okay, thanks for that, Stoke. A great insight there. Certainly a very, very interesting viewpoint. Thanks a lot for talking to us, and I'm sure you'll all be eager now to hear the rest of Stoke's contribution to the Discast Decades project.
Yes, we can't put an exact date on the Discast Decades release yet, but it will be 2010, so keep your eyes and ears peeled for that one. And all that's left to be said is best wishes for 2010 from the Discast team. Have a great year, and we hope to see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Discast Extra. For more information, log on to UKDiscTime.co.uk.